Shoot.
Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Freedom. Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now
Much
on
better.
The air.
Yeah.
Freedom. This is what I call. Well, I wanna say, I wanna tell you,
I wanna say,
when you can do what you wanna do, and go where you wanna go, and live where you wanna be, and love who you wanna love, and be what you wanna be. You wanna join? Well, 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 that's freedom. Yeah, yeah, freedom. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
When you can learn what you wanna learn and read what you wanna read and write what you wanna write. What you wanna say, and let the children play while they wanna play, and work when you wanna work, flirt when you wanna flirt.
Internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, thanks. I couldn't say it. Okay, thanks for tuning into the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio right here. Broadcasting out of the great city of Chicago. I know you've been hearing a lot of things about Chicago, and most of it's true, but try not to dwell on that and enjoy the show, all right? Let's see what's going on. It's a beautiful day in the city of Chicago. I gotta start the show out with that. It is a great day. It's a sunshiny day. I just hate to see winter coming, you know, in this part of the world. This part of the country, Chicago, and some other parts of America as well, But I really hate to see winter coming. I mean, I have really enjoyed this. I mean, I have, and my family have, we have really enjoyed this weather in the city of Chicago. Totally enjoyed it. And so far, but they're saying storms are coming. You know, if the storms come, they come, because I'm going to say, hey, wow, we're going to say, wow, hey, maybe we need, you know, maybe we can use some rain or something. Well, we don't need tornadoes and hurricanes and strong winds, but maybe the rain. And you know what? It's been a great summer, folks, and I hope it's been a great summer for you, too. If not, then maybe you will get your summer later on in the year, or, you know, sit around and just wait and it'll show up, maybe, hopefully. And I try to start the show off with a positive message. Don't be depressed. Don't be, you know, try not to be. Try not to be down. Smile, be positive. Try not to be, you know, worry so much. I mean, worrying leads to depression. Try not to think of yourself as worthless. Nobody's worthless. We all are put on this earth to achieve something, you know. So try to achieve something. Try to do something. We're all going to die. That's no doubt about that. We're all going to die. So you get at a certain age and you have to start preparing for that. You know, it's inevitable. Everybody's going to die. There's no doubt about that. Everybody's going to die at some point, but you don't have to die too early. You don't have to die too soon. You know, if you know, everybody's going to pass away. I mean, it's life's kind of balance itself out. Every time someone dies, someone is born. And that's the truth. I mean, if 100 people die, there's 100 people, babies being born, you know, throughout the world, throughout America. There's people dying every day, you know, and it's going to happen. And it's best to prepare for it the best way you can. Nobody wants to talk about dying. No one wants to talk about anyone dying. But it's a part of living. Dying is a part of living. You live, you die. But you have to live your best. Be the best at what you do. I mean, so when you do depart this earth, you'll leave something behind that generations and generations can remember you by. You know, hey, wow, you know, Derek was a great guy. He passed away at the age of 89. But look what he's left us. He left us all these memories, all of these accolades. We will never forget him. I've told people that to, you know, especially if you're up in age, you know, Even young people, I mean, people in their 20s and 30s and 40s and so on. And leave something behind, you know, leave something that we can remember you by. You know, no one wants to die, but you don't want to die and everybody forgets you are here, not realizing that you have once been here, lived on earth. You've once contributed to life on earth. Suddenly you pass away and everybody forgets about you, because in this time and in this era, you can be easily forgotten. You can be forgotten. Nobody would ever know you've been here. Nobody would ever care that you've been here, unless you leave something behind that other people can go look at, research or study. You know, I'm not saying everybody in the world is going to remember you, unless you're an actor or an actress or something of that sort. Something you've left a lot of, or a singer or a superstar of some sort. But if you're just an average person, an average person living their lives, working every day, sending kids to college and things like that, paying for your home and cars and all that kind of thing. You want to leave something behind. Work on something that you can leave behind. Work on something where the rest of us can say, hey, wow, Marge was here. Deborah was here. LaTanya was here. Look at all of these things that they left behind. So one more time, everybody is going to die. I mean, we're all going to die. There's no doubt about it, but we do not have to die at such young ages. There's nothing wrong with passing away at the age of 85 or 89 or 90 or 102, because you've more than likely you've done your time already. And and I always look at people who are up in their 80s, 90s, so on, as people who know a lot. They have gathered so much knowledge on this earth because they've been around longer than anybody else. They know a hell of a lot. And I love talking to older people because they know so much. They can share so much. You can learn so much from them. Even when I was, I remember when I was about 13, 14 years old, and I wrote about this and I've said this before. When I was a 13, 14, maybe even 11 or 12 years old, I always looked up to older people. I tried to hang around older people when I was that age. And because for the reasons I just got through talking about is that because they know so much or could provide me with so much knowledge. So I hung around a lot of older people and started asking a lot of questions. And that's how I learned a lot of things. I bogarted my way and say, hey, well, I didn't like hanging around kids my own age. I didn't, because I felt that they didn't know anything. They couldn't tell me anything, you know, because they were my age. But I was wrong. I was totally wrong. Kids my age, 13, 14, they enlightened me a hell of a lot. But I think that older people enlighten me a lot more. And I always have so much respect for older people. Now, some old people are crazy. And you have to you have to separate the two. Some old people are just, you know, just people you wouldn't want to hang around. They just don't make any sense. But I think the majority of older Americans are people here with tons and tons of knowledge that could enhance your life, my life, anybody's life. And I always looked at older people as that, as people with a lot of knowledge. I've met some crazy old people. I've met people who complained about old people being senile and demented and losing their memory. They don't even recognize their family members anymore. I've met people like that. And I've met people who don't like old people. Why? Because they just old, you know. But I never felt that way. And I never will, because I always look at older Americans as patriots. I look at them as been living so long. They've been on the earth so long. And you just know they are endowed with so much knowledge about living. I mean, when someone lives to be 80, 85, 90, 95, that person has done something good. That person has done something marvelous in their life to live for so long. Because we've got kids out here right now. Some of them don't even see their 16th or 17th birthday. And so when someone lives for a hell of a long time, you gotta say, what is your, I mean, how do you do it? You know, what is your secret? How do you live so long? What is your secret? You know, anyway, it's a beautiful, beautiful day in the city of Chicago. Thanks everybody for tuning, listening to me rant. I just came from the eye doctor today, and basically, you know, I spent about maybe 2 hours in the eye doctor's office, and I'm okay. I'm just, they say that some of the things that are happening to my eyes are just aging, you know. So but really, and they, every time I go to the eye doctor or the doctor, they're always writing me prescriptions. I don't even ask for them. I may not even need them, but they're always, all right, Mr. Wilder, you're okay. You're a good guy. You're normal. Everything is fine. But we're going to write this prescription. But I don't need it. But take it anyway. I guess the reason for that, folks, is that the medical industry is profitable. These guys and girls in the white coats, they have to get paid. So, you know, even though they're getting paid as soon as you walk through the door, but they want more money by writing prescriptions. And they have no problem writing prescriptions and saying, hey, go to the doctor. It seems like, you know, when you go to the doctor, every time you go to the doctor, they're giving you an appointment to come back. I mean, there's times when you just don't want to go back to the doctor, but the doctors, you think you go to all of these doctor's appointments and one day they're going to say, you're fine, you're well, you're cured and all of this stuff. You don't have to come back. But no, you always got to go back. Even if there's nothing wrong with you, even if you're feeling okay, even if you're feeling 100% super, they give you another appointment. And you're saying, like today, for instance, my doctor told me that I have to, the eye doctor actually, told me that I have to come back for the rest of my life. Yeah, I'll be making appointments for the rest of my life. I didn't say anything about it, but what the hell you mean? I got to keep coming back here every 3 or 4 months? Yes, because your condition may worsen. We want to keep an eye on it. We want to make sure that you are healthy and, you know, things can go wrong within that period of time. So we want you to come back and for every few months for the rest of your life, Mr. Wilder. And I'm going, well, and they always say, listen to your doctor. You got to listen to your doctor. They know better. Yeah. All right. I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. You know, because sometimes I have an appointment for the doctor and I'm feeling just great. But they give me this appointment, so I go anyway, right? Oh, hi, Mr. Wilder. Sit right down in that chair right there. Everything's all right. Can you see straight? Can you take this eye test? Can you, I want to check your blood pressure. Do you have high blood pressure, Mr. Wilder? No, I don't. We'll take these high blood pressure pills. They will moderate exercise, Mr. Wilder. You know, and, you know, so sometimes you can feel great, but your doctor will always find something wrong. Oh, something's wrong. This is not right. And then every now and then your doctor go, hey, this is great. You're normal. You're normal. You're going blind, but you're normal. Yeah, but this is, you know, yeah, well, you had any heart attacks or strokes or anything, Mr. Wilder? No, I have not. Well, take these pills and call us in the morning. But I don't need those pills. Take them anyway. There's, you know. So, all right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. 347-857-1762. My guest today is author Vince Green. He's going to talk about his new novel, his new some kind of a legal thriller on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we'll see what that's all about, if that actually happens. Oh, man, this is just great. It's August already. It's August already. Wow. This year is going so fast. I kind of had the greatest time of my life, personally and individually, in summer 2017. I think it was great. I think it's great. You know, I just hope you guys are not feeling bored or disinterested or uninteresting or uninterested, if I should say. And please don't feel worthless. I mean, nobody is worthless. Do not feel lonely. I mean, lonely brings on depression. Depression brings on worthlessness. And, you know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Not while you're listening to my show. You better not do that. All right. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Be nice to one another out there. It is so easy. Growth in one area of our life while others suffer is not self-development. It is self-centeredness. Yes, I believe that. Making the world a better place. Hate has no home here whatsoever. So if you're hating, if you're a liar, do not come on this show, because my show is not about lies. When I talk about lies, I think about the Trump administration. I think about other people who are pathological liars beside Donald Trump. I think everybody in Donald Trump's White House are pathological liars. They're now saying that he was joking when he told police officers to be more brutal toward their suspects. He was endorsing police brutality. Now he says, now his people are saying that he was joking. Now, we know that Trump was not joking. When he looked into the camera a few months ago, when he looked into the camera and asked Russia to hack Hillary's emails, he wasn't joking. Every time he gets his ass in a sling, his lying surrogates come out and say, well, he was just joking, making us as if we are stupid. This man was not joking. Trump hardly ever jokes. He doesn't look like a joker. He looks like a clown, but he looks like an unfunny clown. He was not joking. Trump meant everything he said about endorsing police brutality. Because if you recall last year, 2016, while he was his rallies were all violent. And he endorsed violence at his rallies. I mean, all of this stuff is on tape. Were him endorsing people hitting one another. This is on tape. Oh, hit him in the head. Get him out of here. Trump was endorsing brutality, just like he endorsed brutality a few days ago. And the police association, they are coming out strong against him. They're saying, no, we're not going to do anything like that. You're not going to try to get our police officers to do something that's unlawful. And then all of a sudden, his people came out from behind the curtain and said, well, he was just joking. Give me a break. These people think we are bona fide stupid. They do. They think we are bona fide stupid. And they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to govern. They're trashing the White House. It's just awful. And the Republicans are letting them do it. Now, the latest news, it's always something coming out of this Trump White House. It's always something coming out of this piece of crap. It's funny, but it is not that funny. It is really, really, this is serious, because this White House is dangerous. These people are talking about taking away our happiness, taking away democracy. It's always something coming out of Trump's butt every day there is. Tomorrow is going to be something else. Next week, something else coming out. And a lot of us are saying, boy, we can't wait to see what Robert Mueller is going to present when this investigation into Russia ties has been completed. What the hell is he going to find? Because Congress, the Republicans in Congress, they are aiding and abetting Trump. I mean, how much can they take from this guy? How much can America take from this guy? People are saying impeach him. But if we impeach Trump, which he totally deserves to be thrown out, then we get Mike Pence. And I'm hearing and reading and researching that Mike Pence. Wow, I got Donald Trump on the brain. Mike Pence, the vice president next to Donald Trump. I'm surprised Donald Trump hasn't fired his vice president. He probably would if he could, and he probably can, because he's the vice president, so that makes him Trump's boss, him Mike Pence's boss, because Trump's the president, Mike Pence is the vice president. So I don't know. But anyway, if Congress impeaches Trump, they sound like they are going to, they could start it, but then they back off. And then I'm thinking that the Republicans are just talking, blowing stuff through their butts. They're just giving the American people some red meat, but they're not going to really do anything, you know, because Trump is untrustworthy. I mean, I wouldn't work for them. I mean, if someone knocked on the studio door right here, Wilder, we like your radio show. Would you like to come and work for the Trump administration? I said, get the hell out of here. I pull my gun out to get out of here. No, but you'll be making a lot of money. Get the hell out of here. Thank you, Mr. Wilder. I would turn down working for the Trump administration. I just wouldn't do it. You know, I wouldn't do it because you never know when he's going to fire you. I mean, there's been so many people fired from the Trump administration so far. You don't know their names. I mean, they're lower level staff. And you don't know their name. The only thing you hear when Trump fires somebody, you only hear about the high level profile people. But the lower level, you don't hear anything about it. But Trump has fired a lot of people. And a lot of people are saying, well, this is not the White House. This is Trump apprentice in the White House. But then again, there's other people who are saying, well, no. This is the Godfather. This is gangster style. This is mafia style. Politics in the White House. I believe that more than anything else, that this is gangster style politics side of the White House. And someone else said that it's the Goodfellas. That's another gangster movie, 1999 with Robert De Niro and Ray Liotta. So I think I got the movie around here somewhere. But anyway, they're saying that Trump was joking. Now, we, the American people, know that that's a lie. If you've been following Trump's campaign and his presidency throughout, you know that's a lie. Trump get his underwear caught in a hook. They come out and say it's a joke. I think this is what his people around him tell him. If anything, if he says something dumb and stupid and ignorant and he sounds serious saying it, then we're going to go around the media and tell everybody it's a joke. He was just joking when he wasn't joking. Trump doesn't joke. He doesn't look like the type to joke. He seemed like he's always serious because around the White House and around his chief of staff and the rest of those folks, Trump is the man. He is the man. He is like Marlon Brando in The Godfather. He is the man. They're all kissing his feet. They're all trying to defend him when it's indefensible. What he says is indefensible. And especially when he talked to the Boy Scouts a couple of weeks ago, that was indefensible. He indoctrinating all kinds of bad vibe into these Boy Scouts. And then now it's the police. He's telling them to be brutal to their suspects. And the police association comes out and say, hey, don't y'all do that. Don't do that. This guy, he was talking to the entire, and he was talking to all America, all police officers in America. Do not do what Donald Trump told you to do. You don't be violent. You don't break the law. Donald Trump is always telling people to break the law. And then when the crap hits the fan, here comes Kellyanne Conway. Here comes this broad named Sarah Huckabee Sanders. They're going all over the place saying, well, it was a joke. He didn't mean it. It was no joke. I get so tired of these people thinking that the American people, we the American people, are just stupid. And that's what they think. They think that we the American people, we don't know a damn thing and that we're stupid and we should believe everything that comes out of the White House. No, 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 no. That is not how it's going to go. I don't believe anything coming out of this White House. You shouldn't either. This is this White House, I don't know if you can call it the White House. These people done trashed their Oval Office and the White House so badly, it's a damn shame. They have left their stench all over the White House. If someone invited me to the White House, I would say, I would turn it down. I said, no way. It's not the White House of Abraham Lincoln. It's not the White House of Harry Truman. It's not the White House of Franklin Eleanor Roosevelt. It's not the White House of Bill Clinton. Or it's not the White House of Obama. So I wouldn't, or Jimmy Carter for that matter. Trump is the worst president ever. He's the worst thing ever. And there is no doubt about it. I'm pretty sure some people in this circle know that, but they're afraid to say it because he'll fire them. He'll get rid of them. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and it's been a blast. Math, everybody. Shut up. All righty. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Making the world a better place one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right.
Mr. President.
Senator from California.
Senator Carper, it's interesting. You talked about Tanzania. It reminds me of a greeting.
This is the next president of the United States. She's running for president, folks. That's Kamala Harris. She is going to be running for president. I haven't heard her deny it. It's been all over Facebook and other social media. And she's African-American. She's very smart. She's beautiful. And I would love to have her on the show to talk about some of her ideas. And but 2020, Trump started running for 2020 on the day he got elected in 2017, whatever. Anyway, she's going to be running for president. Okay. And she's African-American. She's a woman. Of course, I'm saying she, right? So, yes, and I would love to have her on the show sometime. So if somebody out there, you know her, and I ask her if she wanted to be on the show, okay? I would love to have Kamala Harris on the show. She wants to run for the next president of the United States in 2020. She may be running against Donald Trump. Because if she's running against Donald Trump, that would be an easy win, don't you think? This is her talking about the budget. Trump's budget.
Senator Carper, it's interesting. You talked about Tanzania. It reminds me of a greeting that I've often heard from people who live in various African countries. You've probably heard it. But when you meet someone for the first time, instead of what we would normally say, pleased to meet you, the greeting back is, I see you. I see you. And I think that really is part of our concern here. Do we see the people who will be impacted in the way that they are actually living their lives? And do we understand, if we see them, that this bill will not be in their best interest? And right now, for example, we know 13 senators, all Republicans, are crafting a bill, and this bill would restructure our nation's entire health care system, which when you add up what Americans can spend on hospitals, doctors, prescription drugs, and all the rest, we understand that it makes up one-sixth of our economy. It would affect the lives of everyone. Our parents, grandparents, those who are in need of caregiving, our children struggling with asthma or opioid abuse, our spouses who may be battling cancer. And what is equally distressing is that this bill is being written in secret. The chairman of the Finance Committee says he has not seen the bill. The Secretary of Health and Human Services says he has not seen the bill. The American people, the people we all represent, have certainly not seen the bill. Well, I think the American people deserve better. This bill is being written entirely along partisan lines without any attempt to bring Democrats on board. And the American people deserve better. This bill is being written and rushed through the Senate with hardly any time to debate the cost or the details of this proposal. And the American people deserve better. Now, I remember when our colleagues across the aisle said the Affordable Care Act was being rammed down the American people's throats in the middle of the night. Well, the ACA went, in fact, through 106 public hearings. It incorporated more than 170 Republican amendments. The whole process took an entire year. But this health care plan involves no hearings, no bill text, and no transparency at all. As United States senators, we were sent here to represent the American people. Represent the American people. We answer to the American people. So why are my colleagues from across the aisle trying to put one over on the American people? I've met folks all across California and this country, and they see what's happening. They know that if this bill were as wonderful as its proponents would like us to believe, it would be out in the open. The American people deserve greater transparency. But even though the authors of this proposal have tried to conceal the details of their plan, we know enough to know this bill would be nothing short of a disaster. We know because we've been told that it's about 80% the same as the bill that was passed by the House. A bill so catastrophic that even the President of the United States, who hailed its passage, now calls it, quote, mean. We know that it would throw 23 million Americans off their health insurance within a decade, including putting 4 to 5 million Californians at risk of losing coverage. We know it would raise costs for middle-class families and seniors. In every county of California, average monthly premium costs would go up, while financial support to pay premiums would fall. We know it would put Americans with pre-existing conditions at risk and leave people who need maternity care or opioid treatment without coverage or force them to pay huge out-of-pocket costs. We know it would cut about $834 billion from Medicaid, which means less money for families to pay for nursing homes, to support children with special needs, or to treat substance abuse. Bless you.
Thank you.
And that is another reason we need the Affordable Care Act to be in place in a way that we fix what's wrong, but we mend what's broken and not repeal it altogether. I recently visited, Mr. President, a really remarkable treatment clinic in Los Angeles. It's called the Martin Luther King Jr. Outpatient Center. Everyone from the doctors to the patients can tell you that when 46,000 Californians, 4,600 Californians are dying every year from substance abuse and opioid overdoses, it is wrong and irrational to cut Medicaid. So it really makes you wonder, why would anyone support this bill? How does this bill help real people with real challenges? At a healthcare rally in Los Angeles back in January, I met a woman named Tanya. Before the ACA, she'd sign up for insurance just long enough to see a doctor. She'd then have a few tests done and fill a prescription. Then she would realize she couldn't pay and couldn't afford to pay for the insurance beyond that. And she said it's, quote, the worst feeling in the world to have to tell your doctor, who is trying to make you well, that you cannot afford the treatment prescribed. Tanya told me, quote, before the Affordable Care Act, living without health coverage was a nightmare in this country. But she went on to say that has all changed. And thanks to the ACA, I can now see a doctor when I need to, monitor my condition, and stay healthy so I can keep working and contribute to our nation's economy. If my colleagues in Congress, and she referred to them as if the Republicans in Congress repeal the law, I don't know what I will do. So I ask, how does the Republican health care plan help Tanya? Another woman, Krista, told me, quote, I am married with four children, none of whom, and one of whom is a 10-year-old type 1 diabetic. He requires daily active insulin management to stay alive, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. She went on to say health care is not optional for us. Even with health insurance, diabetes management is the type of thing that can bankrupt you. Without health insurance, I can't imagine what I would do. She went on to say the ACA is a huge relief for my family. So I ask, how does this bill help Krista and her family? Then there's Rhett in Marin County. More than 7 years ago, he was diagnosed with leukemia. Rhett is 9 years old. He says, cancer cells are the bad guys. This is what he wrote me. For 3.5 years, I took chemo to get the bad guys out. I had more than 1,000 doses of chemotherapy. My parents had to tell my sister that I might die of cancer. And then he went on to write, thanks to my doctors and nurses, my family and friends, my church and my community, and the Affordable Care Act, now I'm, and then he writes, gone with the cancer. I have a pre-existing condition. Thanks to the Affordable Care Act, my parents don't have to worry about losing coverage. A 9-year-old Rhett is showing us the way. But how does this bill help Rhett? Now, I don't know the party affiliation of any of these folks. I don't know if they're Democrats. I don't know if they're Republicans. I don't know if they're independents. I don't know if they're members of the Green Party. I'm not asking them those questions. I'm asking them, how are you doing? What's helping you? What do you need? And how will this impact you? And I know that I'm just one of two senators that they have. And when it comes to their needs and their need to be represented in the United States Congress and their need to be heard and their need to be seen, party affiliation should not matter. What should matter are the needs of the American people. And regardless then of who they vote for in a partisan election, I am certain of this. This health care plan that is being proposed by my colleagues from across the aisle will not solve their problems. And it will only create, in fact, more problems and potentially devastate people's lives. So to my colleagues, I say, this shouldn't be a matter of supporting this bill automatically if you're a Republican, or objecting just because you're a Democrat. This is about what's right and what's wrong. If you know this bill is bad, stand up and stop it. Speak that truth. Now is not the time to keep quiet and hope nobody notices. Forget the politics. Forget partisan pressure and talk radio and primary ads. Instead, just listen to the voices of the American people. Not just in California, but in Nevada, in Arizona, in Ohio, in Alaska, in Maine, in Pennsylvania, in West Virginia. because they have made themselves overwhelmingly clear. Only 20% of Americans support this bill. A majority opposes it in every state in this country. It is the least popular piece of legislation in modern history. I'm asking you to think about the American people. I'm asking you to think about Tanya. Think about Krista. Think about Rhett, living with leukemia since he was just 2.5 years old, undergoing 2.5 hour infusions every night with such incredible bravery. Let the determination of Americans like Rhett bring us together, a 9-year-old boy who tells us, in his words, don't repeal the Affordable Care Act, improve it. Because we all agree the ACA can be improved. It must be improved. It isn't perfect. And I am ready to work with anyone who really wants to make it better. Instead of playing politics with public health and people's lives, we can actually work together to strengthen our healthcare system. In fact, I'm proud to have recently co-sponsored a bill with Senator Dianne Feinstein and a number of my Democratic colleagues. Our bill would make it safer and easier for middle-class Americans to buy insurance if they currently don't qualify for any help paying their premiums. These are the kind of solutions Democrats can get behind. These are the kinds of solutions that would help and not hurt the people we represent.
Righty. Sorry about that, Carmela. And I hope she does run for president. I really do hope she runs for president. She's a woman. She will spank Trump. Believe me, if he decides to run. Because if he's impeached, he's not going to be, you know, he can't run. If he's impeached, he is not going to be running for president of the United States. And it looks like he's going to be impeached, whether it's by Congress or the American people. All right, the latest thing to come out of the White House, the latest thing that they're saying is the White House admits Trump meddled in Junior's, his son, Don Junior's, defense. Trump has his fingers in everything that goes on in the White House. Everything goes on with his family. And he'll lie and say he did not. And then he gets caught. I guess they're going to say this is a joke, too. Every time he messes up and he messes up, he screws up so much. It's hard to keep up with Trump and his screw ups. And it's hard to keep up with the drip drip, or now it's pouring instead of drip drip out of the White House. This is a mess. And the other day, Donald Trump said, well, the White House is not in chaos. The White House has been in stone chaos, more so, and since he's been president, it has been total chaos. You can't believe anything Donald Trump says. I don't believe anything he says. I have no respect for this White House, no respect for this president whatsoever. I mean, these people could not win me over, period. And I think most Americans think the same way, because of what I see on social media. Donald Trump is getting trampled. His constant lies, his lawyer lies, his family lies, his surrogates lies, the people who go on these talk shows and television shows in defense of Trump, they lie. It's phenomenal. But you know what? I don't want any of those people on this show. This show is not about lies. I mean, you cannot come on this show, the George Wilder Jr. show, and tell a bunch of blatant lies. And, you know, trying to take over this show with your lies, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. America has never seen so many lies coming out of the White House and from its people Wow, this is going to go down in history. If Trump want to go down in history, he's going down in history as the most corrupt, the most lying, the most pathological liar. I mean, maybe in the world. This guy is a mess. Now he's saying the White House admits Trump meddled in juniors. When they say juniors, they're talking about his older son. So, and this is an article on Huffington Post. I make sure that when I give out news over the air that it's from a reputable source. And I've been quoting and reading articles on Huffington Post for many, many years. All right. Sarah Huckabee Sanders suggests Trump weighed in on his son's response to Russia meeting. Okay, in other words, Trump aided and abetted his son in the Russia meetings when he has said several times he didn't know anything about it. Another lie, total lie. You know, so, I mean, you can't believe anything coming out of his mouth. I wonder how do the White House and Congress, how do they govern? They're not governing. They're not being leaders. Because this scandal is just Donald Trump and his scandals and his lies and his crimes are just overtaking anything that these guys and girls try to do in Congress. There's no governing, as I've said. They can't govern. They don't know what the hell governing is. And it's just awful that America has to suffer through this. And I've said yesterday on the show, and I probably said every day until Trump is removed or he's out of office in some way, that this guy is totally unfit. I mean, he is totally unfit. He's the reason why the United States of America is the laughing stock of the world. People are laughing at us. And right now on Donald Trump's desk, there's a bill that he should sign. Maybe he won't sign, putting a lot of sanctions, serious sanctions on Russia for meddling into the 2016 election. Trump hasn't signed it yet. And yet Russia has ran a lot of Americans from its country. The embassies are closing, and a lot of the agencies, American agencies within that country are closing, have closed its doors because Russia has ran a lot of Americans from their country in the thousands. And yet Trump still will not sign this sanction bill against them, against Russia, after Russia then treated Americans so horribly wrong. And the question is, what does Russia have on Donald Trump, where he's letting his own people in Russia being trampled on by Vladimir Putin because of these sanctions? There is something there. This guy, Donald Trump, is just horrid. Okay, let me say that again. There's a bill, Congress sent a bill to Donald Trump. It has to be signed before it is made into law, putting a lot of these serious sanctions on Russia for meddling into the election of 2016. Donald Trump hasn't signed it yet. He doesn't want sanctions put on Russia, it seems, after Russia dispelled a lot of Americans from its country, working at some of these embassies and agencies around Russia. It's a retaliation from Russia for these sanctions. It's a retaliation for sanctions that haven't even taken place yet until the president signs them. And yet Trump has not signed this Russia sanction bill. If he doesn't sign it, he has so many days to sign it. I believe it's 10 days. After 10 days, Congress can override him and the bill will become law. However, this is just another way of saying Trump is guilty as hell. There is something he is some crime he is committing with Russia. And hopefully Robert Mueller, the special counsel who is investigating his Russia ties and his financial ties, will come up with something that's going to hopefully have Trump thrown out of office. Because this is just crazy. This is crazy. This guy, Russia has something on Donald Trump. There's no doubt about it. He has not signed this bill for these sanctions to take place. He has not signed it. But yet, Russia is retaliating against this bill of sanctions by expelling Americans from its country. And the sanction, they haven't even taken place yet. Donald Trump is mulling whether to sign it or not to sign it because it's been on his desk now for about 2 or 3 days. But he has 10 days to sign it or it's going to take effect because they're going to override it. Democrats are going to vote with the Republicans in Congress to override this thing, and it's going to become law. And everybody is saying, what the hell is Russia got on Trump that makes him not want to immediately sign this bill? Why would you wait after Russia has thrown so many Americans out of his country? Why would you wait to sign this bill to sanction them for meddling in the 2016 election and virtually for throwing Americans very recently out of their country? And Donald Trump still will not sign this thing. What has Russia got on him? It's something. It is something. Now, he talked about protecting the American people. He's not protecting the American people. Russia has kicked America, some of those folks, out of their country. Now, if the shoe was on the other foot, it would probably be a lot different. Anyway, Sarah Huckabee Sanders suggests Trump's weighed in on Sun's response to Russia. All right, the White House press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, on Tuesday all but confirmed that President Donald Trump dictated his son's public response to a meeting with a Russian lawyer. And for years and for months, everybody around Trump has been saying there's no collusion with Russia. There's no collusion of any sort. They all lied. Her statement directly contradicts the president's legal team. His lawyers are liars. They're all liars. And may place him in legal jeopardy, as there are multiple going on investigations into whether the Trump campaign colluded with Russia last year in the presidential campaign. His lawyers are out right now going around talk shows on cable and broadcast television denying everything. They're saying it's ludicrous. This is not pertinent. It's not true. It's not true. Then why is it not true when one of Trump's own surrogates and the White House press secretary said these things? It wasn't Democrats. It wasn't the media. It's Trump's own inner circle that is pulling this stuff up. Then they're coming out. Oh, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Then you find out it's true. These people are a bunch of liars, and they should they should not be anywhere in the White House. This is just crazy. And we just have to find a way to get these people out of the White House, impeach them. But a lot of people said, let Donald Trump stay because Mike Pence is worse. I don't know. Some people say, well, we can deal with Pence. We'll fight him tooth and nail. But, you know, Donald Trump is just ridiculous. He's just ridiculous. And he's got to go. He is got to go, folks. He is got to go.
Donald Trump and his lawyers aren't just looking to interfere with the investigation into the last election. They're not just looking to disrupt it. They might go a step farther than that. The Washington Post reports that Trump has, quote, asked his advisors about his power to pardon aides, family members, and even himself in connection with the probe, according to someone familiar with the effort. A second person said Trump's lawyers have been discussing the president's pardoning powers among themselves, which is just standard operating procedure when you and all the people you know are innocent of crimes. You just talk a lot about pardoning. you're just curious about pardoning.
It comes up.
It does. Jay Sekulow, Trump's attorney, says pardons are not being discussed and are not on the table. So bear that in mind. But in light of this report,
well,
because
Jay Sekulow said it.
Yeah, Jay, you can take that to the bank.
We should probably just end this clip. But you know, we're going
to
push on.
Bank.
We have a couple more minutes. So now there's this question. A lot of people are wondering, what is the extent of the pardoning power of the president? Can he pardon Mike Flynn? Can he pardon his family members? Can he even indeed pardon himself? And so a lot of legal scholars and law professors have been writing up their thoughts on this. And it is complicated. There have not been that many pardons this close to an administration. It's not really what the pardon was originally created for us to go back to. But we do have some guidance. A Michigan State University law professor said he can definitely pardon people who haven't been charged yet. And contrary to a common misconception, it doesn't require as a legal matter that he say they are guilty. So that again could be Mike Flynn, it could be Manafort, it could be Donald Trump Jr. And the general consensus is that he can pardon any of those people or beyond for things that they are being investigated for, things we don't even know about, things they haven't been charged with. And he can largely do that to whatever extent he wants.
He can start pardoning White House staffers as they enter the new job, as going through one of those like metal detectors and the pardon.
It could be like baptism.
Exactly. It can all be done at one time.
But significantly, you can't pardon yourself related to impeachment. That's in the, the Constitution. Right. And you can't pardon if there was a state investigation. Mm-hmm. Like the pardoning power doesn't work if New York State, for example, were to prosecute him. But he might be able to prosecute to pardon himself. Like that, we don't know. Like,
yeah.
That's a Supreme Court interpretive thing? Or?
It's a, yeah.
Well, I'm going to jump into a little bit of legal argument.
Oddly enough, it hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened because the idea was that it's sort of a power of mercy that you can grant to another person, not that you would protect yourself and your inner circle from criminal charges. But I'm going to jump ahead because we could go into Gerald Ford, and he obviously, he pardoned Nixon for offenses against the U.S. That he committed or that he might have committed. You don't even have to like spell it out. It can just be like you're absolved. But let's go way, way back in American history. In Federalist number 74, Hamilton notes that, quote, humanity and good policy requires that the pardon power ought to remain in the hands of the president. He argued for that, although some disagreed, rather than dispersed among the many members of Congress, which is actually how it works in a lot of states. Because the sense of responsibility he would feel in having such enormous power over another person's fate would ensure that he exercised it with, quote, scrupulousness and caution. Two words I think of when I think of Donald J. Trump.
Well, Hamilton had a lot of faith, didn't he?
He did. He's naive, I think.
Yeah, there was seldom was Alexander Hamilton more wrong.
Exactly, yeah. Not saying anything about the show.
No.
Further, let's go to Jessica Lavison, a Loyola Law School professor, who said this. Shortly before President Nixon resigned from office, the Office of Legal Counsel issued an opinion in which they cautioned that no one may be a judge in his or in his own case. This is also a principle of so-called, quote, natural law. This meant the OLC said that the president cannot pardon himself. Although the interesting thing about the Office of Legal Counsel is that they are not the Supreme Court of the United States.
Yeah,
so that is something
that Brian Kaltz, who you quoted before, says that this is a fiercely debated but unresolved legal question. That's ultimately where
and
this is.
I mean, it would likely be a Supreme Court issue.
It would be now, but the president, first of all, he could be impeached and removed from office, totally separate from whether he pardoned himself. In fact, you cannot pardon yourself to keep you absolved from the circumstances related to impeachment. That's directly in the Constitution. So removed from all this is whether as a political matter, though, pardoning yourself. I mean, again, I get it. I don't think you is more critical in general of this group of Republicans that we have in Congress right now. I cannot believe they would stand by while the president, after trying to fire the special counsel, then proceeded to pardon himself.
Well, I mean, here's how it's done, obviously, under the guise of this. Look, We are getting so distracted with this ridiculousness, this wild goose chase. They're not letting me follow my agenda. Right. The American people hired me to do a job, and this insanity in Washington is preventing me from doing that job. I'm pardoning everyone. I'm pardoning myself. Let's get on with the business. I mean, it would be sold like that.
It would be sold like that, but of course, then there
that would work for most dictators, I think.
That's what he wants.
Right away, Duterte in the Philippines, he'd be like, you know what? I am going to come to the United States. It seems like actually a great place.
This mayor's just bothering me. I'm just going to kill him, and then let's move on, people.
Yeah, so that would be challenged, so he would still have to deal with it as it worked its way through the courts, because there would be people obviously who objected. There's no, he would lose. I can't, as a political matter, that strikes me as such a gargantuan loser. I get it. There's some, that 36% stays through some things.
Well,
it would drop to 28%.
Well, look, again, that 36%, just to be pure about it, that's the overall electorate, the overall polled electorate. Yeah. He's still got a strong Republican.
Totally. He's governing. Yeah. He's governing to
he's over 80%
he's governing to the 80% of Republicans who support him. That's all he cares about. So, you know, and Nixon, you know, even before impeachment, was still over 50% of Republicans. So it was a different time. There were different kinds of Republican in the Senate. There were men of significant principle. Barry Goldwater famously told the president, because, you know, Nixon was not impeached. Nixon resigned prior to impeachment, and he would have been removed from office because Nixon thought, well, I'll never get the 2/3 vote in the Senate. But Goldwater told him, no, Mr. President, you don't have the votes, and you don't have mine. Mm. And that was the,
hard to imagine
final blow.
Conversation like that today.
Yeah. So you've laid out, you think, you know, if he were to do that, that would cause problems for him. We never know with Donald Trump. Nope. He has weathered pretty much everything. But he has said that he might fire Mueller for things that Mueller has already done. So that might well happen. And he could well pardon his entire family and himself. And I think that is going to be an interesting moment for every American in politics, outside of politics, in media, outside of media.
Well, he should be impeached.
Where you have to ask.
According to a bombshell new report from the Washington Post, Donald Trump has actually been asking his advisors and his legal team about his pardoning powers regarding himself, his family, and members of his staff. Now, according to the source from the Washington Post, this doesn't mean that Donald Trump is walking around saying, I can't wait to pardon myself. But the fact that he's even wondering how far his pardoning powers extend tells us that there's probably a reason he wants to know who and when he can pardon people. Look, as a former member of the W. Bush administration pointed out, this makes you look super guilty. And that's absolutely correct. You don't ask people how to pardon yourself or your family unless you expect to have to use those powers. Now, it might be just a little inkling that you have to use them, but if you have that inkling, then you also understand that there probably are some potential crimes that Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor, is going to uncover during his investigation. Now, asking about the pardoning powers is only part of this Washington Post story. The Trump administration is also apparently launching a massive counterattack on Bob Mueller himself and his team of investigators, asking his staff, his lawyers, to dig up all of the dirt that they possibly can on the people who are currently investigating the Trump administration. Their goal is to undermine these investigators by bringing up anything that they have in their past that might paint them in a negative light. It's exactly what Fox News typically does when a black youth in the United States is shot. Rather than using a picture of them looking normal, they try to find the most disgusting, horrible picture they can find and put that up on screen. That is exactly what the Trump administration is trying to do to these investigators. Probably not going to work. Everybody in this country, at least the majority of them, already think that you're probably guilty of something here. And this doesn't even necessarily tie in to the Russian stuff. Donald Trump understands that Mueller is going to go through his finances now, and that is what is driving Donald Trump crazy, because there's no telling who is involved in any of that, where the money's going, where the money's coming from, and what kind of deals he or his family members may have made to help put him in office. This investigation goes far beyond Russia. And to be honest, if we're going to have any chance of impeaching Trump, it's not going to be for anything involving Russia other than perjury. That is the key there. So anyway, that's where we're at with all of this. That's the Trump administration. He wants to pardon himself. He wants to pardon his family and his staff. And he wouldn't be having those thoughts if he didn't think for a second that this special prosecutor is going to come up with some kind of dirt on him or his family or his staff. And here's another little interesting part of the story. A president can actually only pardon someone after they've been convicted. So if Trump were to get convicted of something, he would actually then lose his pardoning powers and no longer be able to pardon anyone. Furthermore, if Trump is not convicted, but other people are, and he pardons them, those people then lose their Fifth Amendment protection, meaning that they will be called to testify and they will not be allowed legally to not answer the questions. It's a lose-lose situation for Donald Trump right now. And I have to say, that's exactly what this man deserves. If you like this video, make sure that you like, comment, and share. And most importantly, yeah, like subscribe to our YouTube.
All righty. We don't subscribe to anything unless it's one of my books, right? All righty. Something happened, and something interesting that happened in Illinois today I want to touch on before the show is over. We have a budget in the state of Illinois. Hooray for that. I mean, 2.5 years without a budget. And it's not because of the governor. The governor did not want a budget. He just did not want it for whatever reasons, whacked out reasons that he can think of. We have a budget because the Illinois Senate and the Illinois House of Representatives overrode the governor and gave us a bill. The governor hated it. He didn't like it, boy. But anyway, Illinois is back on track again. It's not perfect, and we need more work. The state needs more work, but at least we're at a starting point. The governor did not want this. He did not want it at all. It seems as though Bruce Rauner is not running anything in Illinois. The Democrats in the legislature are running this in Illinois, not the governor. And today, before school open after this summer recess. Okay, this is summer recess for the people, for the children in the city of Chicago. They're out for the summer, and Rauner just vetoed a funding package for those schools, putting those schools in jeopardy for opening in the fall. So he gave some dumb, jacked up reason for doing it, as if, you know, I'm gonna take away education from all the kids in the city of Chicago, but it's a good thing. Basically, that's the way you sum up his speech for his reasoning for denying kids an education in the state of Illinois, downstate and in Chicago. So it's not just affecting Chicago. This guy is so mean and evil and nasty, and it's just phenomenal that this guy can take away, mess with kids in this manner, mess with children, screw up graduations and stuff like that, and then say it's good for Chicago, it's good for Illinois. This is crazy. I mean, he's a Trump wannabe. Bruce Rauner is a, and the thing about it, he's like Trump. He wants to run for reelection. What have you done but destroy Illinois? What have you done but want to destroy Illinois? The Democrats aren't going to let him. And he's mad. He's pissed. He's upset. He spent a lot of money, millions of dollars on commercials and all of this stuff. And it didn't work. It didn't work. And now he's angry. And now he's taking it out on the schools and the children. This money that is earmarked for these schools, it's in the Constitution. But you know, Republicans, they do not give a damn about the Constitution. They could care two craps about the Constitution. They break the laws of the Constitution every day and all the time. If it was a Democrat doing it, he or she probably would have been impeached by now. You know, so this guy has now Chicago and schools downstate in Illinois are in jeopardy for opening this fall. Even if they do open, they're in jeopardy of staying open. So one or the other is going to happen if we don't get a school funding package in Illinois. The governor just rejected it. He just vetoed it like he promised he would. And then after he vetoed it, he said something, we have to watch out for our children. We have to do things for our children. Hell, you just vetoed a financial package for the schools. If you care that much about our children, why would you put them out in the streets? This is what Republicans do. They screw up, they F up, and then they look around and see who they can blame for it. Browner cannot blame anybody but himself for this. I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow. Browner cannot blame anybody else for this, and he can talk around the question. He can say what he wants to say in his mind. He can come up with all the figures he wants to come up with and juggle them and mash them the way he wants to do, and then throw them out there at us and say, believe this. We're not going to believe a damn thing. What we believe is that you just don't give a damn about Chicago children. That's what we believe. It doesn't matter what you say, how you say it, how your surrogates and flunkies put it. You just don't give a damn about Chicago schools. That's it. That's the bottom line. There's nothing else to be said. You vetoed money for these schools. You're hurting the children. And months ago or a year ago, Rauner said some nasty things about public schools in the city of Chicago. He said that these schools were prisons. Yeah, he said they were prisons. And I'm pretty sure he said a lot of other things also. He can't stand public schools. I think one of the reasons why Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, I think one of the reasons why he cannot stand public schools, because he doesn't like unions. He wants to bust unions so badly, and the legislature in Illinois will not let him. He wants to change this, change that. He wants the schools to actually go bankrupt. He said this. He wants them to go bankrupt. So that's one of the reasons why he's not giving them any money, because he wants them to go bankrupt. And if they go bankrupt, they're going to close down. They're going to close their doors. This guy is not for Illinois. This guy, and Illinoisans know that, and that's why we're going to go to the polls in November 2018 and throw this jackass out. Let's throw him out with Donald Trump. Remember, folks, these are Republicans. And a lot of the Republicans in the Republican Party, they're not there anymore. They're saying that the Republican Party is a shadow of itself. And it is. We know what the Republican Party is. We know what they're about. We know what they're not about. We know that they should never, ever be in power. But these people are going to try to lie and fly and corrupt their way back into office. We have to be smart enough. A lot of people out here who are just plain old stupid. It may sound harsh, but it's true. It's very true. A lot of people out here, they have their heads in the sand. They don't even know what the hell's, excuse me. They don't even know what the hell's going on. Donald Trump, who's Donald Trump? You know, they don't even know what the hell's going on. They're so buried into something else that's not relevant in this day and age. People have to take their heads out of the sand, get out there and vote these clowns out. Because if I've said this 1,000 times, if you do not vote, your vote is still going to be used to vote someone in that you probably don't like, or is going to mess with your happiness, or going to cut everything. You know, this is not America. This is not Illinois. people come in, these Republicans, these mean, nasty Republicans come into these offices and they try to wreck everything, destroy it, and then say it's good for America, it's good for Illinois. Wreck it. Wreck all the social programs that Americans have been gotten used to, that has helped them immensely, that has made America what it is. They come in trying to wreck it and then say, well, you don't have this anymore. You don't have daycare anymore, but it's good for America. You know, you can't go to the doctor anymore. You're going to die soon, but it's good for America. This is what Republicans are about. You know, this is who they are. This is why we have to get these people out. Even if Donald Trump is impeached tomorrow, we still have to do the right thing at the polls to make sure people like Donald Trump do not get back in office. There are so many people out here who are complaining about Donald Trump, complaining about Bruce Rauner, and did not vote. It's true. If you do not vote and did not, you have no complaining to do. You have no complaining to do. I believe there's more people out here who did not vote. They are doing the most complaining about what's going on in the governorship in Illinois and in Washington, the White House. They are probably may be the biggest complainers, and they did not vote. They did not vote. And if you didn't vote, you have no right to complain because you did not take part in the democracy, a democracy that Donald Trump and his goons are trying to destroy. So there is no doubt about it, folks. We have to get out here, do our thing. I'm doing my part. I'm trying to do the best I can with what limited resources that I do have. But I do have something. And you got to find something to do to in order to get out here and vote these clowns out of office before they remake America in their image. It's possible. And it's scary. And these people in the White House are dangerous. They're dangerous. They're taking us back to Germany, Hitler days, the Führer. And they don't give a damn about that. It's a shame the way America has fallen from grace throughout the world because of Donald Trump and those clowns and liars and corrupt son of a guns in the White House. They have just trashed the White House. And they continue to trash the White House every second that they occupy it. And they're trashing America. Donald Trump is a reflection of America. Sad to say, but he is. Throughout the world, he is a reflection of America. I know there's a lot of people out there saying, hey, not my president, not my president. Yeah, no, not my president. Yeah, but he still is a representative of America, seen as a representative throughout the world. But most of those leaders in other countries, they realize that it's Donald Trump and not the American people. It's Donald Trump. They realize that majority of the American people want to see this guy thrown out. You got leaders around the world who also wants to see Donald Trump thrown out because he's taken America to the gutter. And this guy, I have to say this, he talks about making the world a better place. That was a con. Donald Trump conned his way, lied his way, manipulated his way, corrupt his way into the White House. And everything he said he was going to do or was just lies. Were just lies. He said he wasn't going to cut Social Security. He's going to cut it. He said everybody in America was going to have health care. He's trying to throw 30 million people off health care. Whatever promise that you think he made, just reverse that promise. Just reverse it, because that's what it is. The guy lies through his teeth. He lies through his ass. He just lies. And we, the people of the United States, we should not put up with it. If Congress will not do its job, then we have to do it, because we voted their asses in there. We voted. We're the voters. We don't like something that's going on in Congress. It's up to the American people to change it, not Congress, because Congress is the problem. They're the problem. They're not listening to you, the voter, who put their asses in office. You gave them their health care. Every House member in Washington, D.C. was put in there by their constituency, by their voters. And in turn with that, gave them the greatest health care in the world. Now these jackasses get together and want to take away our health care. The one we gave them health care, so they want to take away ours, and saying that's good for America. That's good for you. Well, you're going to die tomorrow, but that's good. We have to change Washington, or it's going to change us, and it's going to change us for the worse. These people are dangerous. They're Republicans. They're not Democrats. They're not independents. They don't have morals. They don't have hearts. They just don't give a damn. They're rich, white, and old, and racist. And we just can't. We're not going to take it. We have to do something. We have to do something. We have to do it now, or America will cease to be the greatest country in the world as it has always been. It's still a great country. America is still a great country, regardless of Donald Trump. But he and his goons are taking it down. And we, the American people, we just can't sit by and let Donald Trump and his goons in America as we know it.
Bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl.
All right, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're just about off the air. We've got a few more seconds into the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you join the show. It's a great day in Chicago. Stay positive. Stay up. Don't worry. See you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody. In late. Stay up, stay cool.